Let's open with a word of prayer and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for all that you've given to us. We thank you for your word and all the things that you said here. We honor you and we give you glory and great honor, for you are an excellent God. There is none beside you. And I pray that the words that come out of my mouth will be your words and not mine. Let all my words just vanish into the wind as chaff. Only let your words come out and that we would understand them and we would take them to heart in Yeshua's name. Amen. In this Torah portion, Moses gives the children of Israel a recap of the commandments and the desire Yahweh wanted to do to them. He knew way before they would not obey what he wanted them to do. They were to be a beacon on a hill to show the world how to live according to the commandments of Yahweh. The world was to say, in Deuteronomy 4:6-8, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples that shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that hath God so near unto them as Yahweh our Elohim is whensoever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that hath statutes and ordinances so righteous that as all this law which is set before you this day? After the children of Israel received the Ten Commandments, they backed away and said that they would die if they heard the voice of Yahweh from the fire. In this, Yahweh heard what they had said, and his response to this request was, oh, and this is in Deuteronomy 5:29, oh, that they were such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, and it might be well with them and their children forever. He knew from the beginning they weren't going to obey him. He knew that it was impossible for them because they didn't have the heart that he desired them. They wanted the stone tablets. They did not want to write write on the heart, their heart, circumcise their heart, and write the commandments on their heart. They would have nothing to do with Yahweh. They wanted Moses to do it all for them. They wanted an emissary between them and God. They didn't want a personal relationship with Yahweh at all. This is proven over and over again through Scripture, from Genesis all the way through Revelation, that they were going to be a stiff-necked people. The remedy came through the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 24:7. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yahweh, that they should be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And that's the key. We need to return back to him with our whole heart, whole mind, and everything that's in us, and do what he says to do. And it's very simple things that he wants us to do. Nothing hard, nothing difficult. But we make it through our laws and our way of understanding that we mess everything up. In Jeremiah 31:21. Set up waymarkers, make the guideposts, set thy heart toward the highway, even the way by which you went. Turn again, O virgin Israel, turn again to thy cities. They abandoned everything that God had for them. When they were put in exile, some of them didn't even bother returning back at the time of Daniel, at the time that they said it was time for them to go back home. They decided it was better for them to be in the world than it was back in the land. In Jeremiah 31:31-34, behold, the day come, said Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. Although I was a husband unto them, said Yahweh. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my law in their inward parts. In their heart will I write it, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know Yahweh, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says Yahweh, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, and I will remember no more. The realization of this promise came in Jesus, who was born through the Virgin, God in the flesh. In Luke 2, verses 4 through 7, and Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because it was the house of the family of David, to entroth himself with Mary, who was betrothed to him, being great with child. And it became to pass that when they were there, the days were fulfilled that she should deliver. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, for there was no room in the inn. And continue in Jeremiah 32:37-40. Behold, I will gather them out of the countries whither I have driven in my anger and in my wrath and a great indignation. And I will bring them again to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, and they may fear me forever. And you remember back in Deuteronomy, he says that only that they had my heart in them. And he continues, for the good of them and their children after them, I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and they will not turn away from following them, so to do them good. And I will put my fear in their hearts, that they may not depart from me. You see that all of this, Yahweh wanted a personal relationship with the children of Israel. They were, for the most part, would have nothing to do with him. They wanted an intercessor rather than a walk with the creator of the universe and all that was in it. Even though he would walk with them, protect them, feed them, and give them water, they only wanted a God that would dictate the terms of their relationship with him. Most importantly, they wanted to be God. This is shown over and over again and how their relationship with God from the time they left Egypt until Yeshua was born. They didn't want to serve a God. They wanted God to serve them. If you look at in what it says in Ezekiel and all the prophets, they were inquiring of God. They wanted him to give them an answer as to why these things were going on. He says, I'm not going to answer you. So in Luke 14:16-24, he said to them, a certain man made a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time and said to those who were invited, come, for all the things are now ready. And all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must go and see it. I beg you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to test them. I beg you, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. And coming up, that servant reported these things to his Lord, and the master of the house began being angry, said to the servant, go out quickly into the streets, into the lanes, in the city, and bring here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as you commanded, and there's still room. And the Lord said to his servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come, so that my house may be filled. For I said to you that none of these men who were invited shall taste my supper. They thought it was the easier way to make excuses and not be with the king. They wanted it on their terms and not his terms. They wanted all these were valid excuses if they were going to war, but this is a marriage banquet. They didn't have an excuse. They wanted just not to even go, but they were made an excuse one after another that they should not be there at the wedding. So the Lord said, Yahweh said, that they would not get even a morsel of it. So in this, all this, Israel did not want a personal relationship with their king. They were invited, and yet they decided they didn't want anything to do with him. So in Romans 11:17-24, it says, and if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and become a sharer in the root and of the fatness of the olive tree with them, do not boast against the branches, But if you boast, it is not you that bears the root, but the root bears you. You will say then, the branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And you stand by faith. Do not be high-minded, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, fear lest he would also not spare you either. Behold, the kindness and the severity of God on those who have fallen. Severity, but on you, kindness, if you continue in kindness, otherwise you will be cut off. And those also, if they also continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. If they do not continue in unbelief, they will be grafted back in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the natural wild olive tree and were grafted in contrary to the natural into a good olive tree, how much more could these things being according to the nature would be grafted into their own olive tree? So how can we make sure that we're grafted in a true vine? By abiding in the vine and doing what he said for us to do. For he said in it of himself that he is a true vine, and we are the branches. And if we abide in him, he will abide in us, and we in him. This is the same thing that he posed to Israel. If they did what he said to do at the very beginning, they would have never got kicked out in the first place. And here we are after Yeshua's death, burial, and resurrection, and now we're grafted into the vine. We cannot say, well, you guys are out. Too bad for you. Ha ha. No. He says, be careful. Don't do that. Because they can repent and they can be brought back in. You see, we cannot grow fruit unless we abide in the true vine. If we do not abide in him, he will have no part, will have no part in him. It's the same thing at that time in Deuteronomy. Moses is trying to relate to them that if they do what he says to do, they would live long in the land. But in the end, we know 490 years later, they were all kicked out. Even the northern and the southern kingdom, they're all out. Because they did not do what he said to do. The basic rules to love your neighbor as yourself and to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. If they did that, do you think they would be kicked out of the land if they give the land rest as he said to give land rest? If they did the basic kindness to each other and not try ripping each other off, would you think that they would be kicked out of the land? No, they would be in the land because they love God with all their heart, soul, and mind. You see, we cannot grow good fruit unless we abide in the true vine. If we do not abide in him, then we will have no part in him. Inasmuch as he says in all the scriptures that if we love him, then he will call us to himself and we will remain in him. But if we walk against him, he will walk against us. None of this is possible without faith. It is the way that always has been. No amount of blood of bulls and goats would satisfy our guilt. It is only by faith that we ask him to forgive us, and that we have to be humble and contrite in heart. We have to be willing to say, okay, I messed up, God, I'm sorry. And make it right with our neighbor because we offended him. We have to be able to do this. But if we're not doing this and we go contrary to him, and we could be kicked out just as well as the former house of the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. When John the Baptist asked of Jesus, or Yeshua, if he was the Messiah, or if they should look for someone else, it was not because of a lack of faith it was that he asked. Rather, he knew his time was short and that he would lose his life. He wanted to be sure that he was dying for the right reason, and that it wasn't in vain that he would die. Oh, that we would ask the right questions, and we could rest assured that our life is pleasing to our Master. It is when we don't ask, when we assume these things, that God doesn't care. He's on a far trip. He doesn't see what I'm going to do. He doesn't see me in my basement with my gods down there and bowing down to them. He's blind, deaf, and dumb, just like these idols are. No, he sees those things. He knows our heart. In Matthew 11, 4 through 15, he says, Jesus answered and said to them, go tell John those things which you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have the gospel proclaimed to them. And blessed is he whoever shall not be offended in me. And they departed. Jesus began to say to the crowds concerning John, what did you go out to the wilderness to see? A reed shaking in the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say to you, it was more than one more excellent than a prophet. For this is the one whom is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who shall prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those who have been born of women, there is not risen a greater one than John the Baptist. But the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven is taken by violence, and the violence take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesy until John. But if you will receive it, this is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears, let him hear. In the Torah portion, we see the last days of Moses, and we see that God is allowing him to tie up some loose ends. He had to. He is coming to this, in the coming chapters, to teach this second generation what Yahweh would require of them so that they could live long in the land. Yahweh was also expressing his sorrow that the children of Israel would not follow him with their whole heart. The question is this, will you follow Yeshua with all your heart? And will you love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your being? And you will love your neighbor as you love yourself. I know that this seems rather basic, but without the foundation, then it doesn't matter. You will not enter into the kingdom. In John 14, 1-14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you go, and how do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. And if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. And how do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of myself, but the Father who dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me, I am in the Father and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes on me, the works that I do he shall do also, and greater works than these he shall do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you may ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So if you are of him, and our life is about him, and we love our neighbor and our enemies, then all the law is fulfilled in them, and we are no longer held under the law of death, sin and death. It is good to remember those things that have gone on before us, and how they did not love God. It should serve us well as a warning to return to the basics and return to the faith that will deliver us into the kingdom. We can all say that we love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, but we do not love our neighbor, then we're just as much saying, what God created, I don't care for. But yet he's saying to us, even in this Torah portion, that he knew well ahead that we were not going to obey him. We were going to walk away from him time and time again. We would go out, we have wars, and then God would rescue us from that. We would have all these problems come up, and God would take care of us through these things. And yet we turned our backs on him as soon as everything was going right. He wants us to love him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. This is what the whole idea of this Torah portion is about, is to follow what he says. And if we mess up, and when we mess up, ask for forgiveness and with our whole heart, soul, and mind. And then we can come back to him in faith and in boldness and ask the things in Yeshua's name. And blessing to you all. This is our Torah portion for today.